Hello and welcome to the Hypnosis Academy. Well, today I'm sharing a video with you that I've shared on my other channel as well. And this video is about chair therapy and basically chair therapy being done to me. You see, for a long time I have been the giver of therapy, the facilitator of therapy, but not very often is therapy done to me. So Vicky Cook very kindly offered to do and help me with an issue that I had that I knew was creating very negative emotion inside of me. And she did it beautifully and she took me through the whole chair therapy process. I didn't make it easy for her, right? She had a challenge because there wasn't any budging. When I was being the person that I was angry with, there was no budging. But you know what? What I learned from that was that it was still extremely therapeutic for me. Extremely. Even though I was aware as I was being that person, and truly I was being that person, I was that person, I could feel it. I was aware of how entrenched those people were, because there were two of them. This is why I give Vicky a hard time, because I asked her to do two. I was so aware of how entrenched they were in their beliefs that it really was not worth me trying to coerce them or change them or whatever. No, it was just a waste of time. This is what that therapeutic understanding helped me to come to terms with. It was like, why am I getting myself so upset about this when they are like that, you know? So the theme of it is the lines in the sky, all right, if you believe in that sort of thing. And I feel much, much better now. So this is the process. I will be leaving out some things out of the process and perhaps leaving things in this process that I didn't have in the other one, okay? So I hope you enjoy it and thank you very much, Vicky, for that beautiful experience. Bye-bye. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this channel. We are here with the super Vicky Cook, and we're doing something very different today. In fact, I'm only just introducing Vicky. Vicky's going to be doing a process on me, a hypnotic process, something that I've needed to deal with for a long time. And Vicky very kindly has agreed to take me through that. So how are you, Vicky? All right?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you. All good.
Jolly good. Jolly good. So let me explain what we're going to do, and then I'm going to leave myself in the hands of Vicky. So Vicky's going to take me through a process that's called chair therapy. And it's a one that's excellent for allowing yourself to free yourself of negative feelings, negative emotions, negative thoughts, everything like that. And especially when it's linked to a person or persons. Okay. So the theme of today is, Are the people who leave those little white trails in the sky that upset me to a degree that I really don't want to go to. But before we start, Vicky, what do you do? Who are you?
Who am I? I don't know. Who am I? I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. Is that
beautiful?
What I am? I think so. And during that human experience, I'm really enjoying learning hypnosis. So I've been doing your hypnosis course for over a year now, isn't it? We've been doing
yeah.
it. And I'm really enjoying it, really getting into it. My alter ego is I'm a fitness instructor. So I teach Pilates, have done for about 12 years. I'm self-employed. I also teach special populations. So I teach people who have cancer, who are suffering after cardiac issues, teach older people who have falls issues as well. So that's kind of what I specialize in, and some injury rehab. So I've basically worked more on the physical side of people, which obviously then impacts them mentally. But what I'm really enjoying now is working more on the therapy side. So working on helping them with their emotions and, you know, their mental health, as well as just their physical health, so that we're getting them to be all-rounded, healthy, happier humans.
Cool, that sounds lovely. So a healer then, yes? An all-round
yeah.
healer?
Yeah. Oh, yes, a complete empath. Yeah, huge empath. Need to protect myself.
Don't we all? Don't we all? And just so for those who might be interested, once you've seen this, you're not going to see all of the process. Obviously, there's certain things we've got to leave out. But if you're interested, Vicky's available and Vicky's here if you're interested in talking to her about a potential experience with this, yeah? And other things as well. She doesn't just do this. Okay, Vicky, I throw myself over to you. This is your session. I'm in your hands.
Okay, perfect. So, Gordon, what is it that you would like me to help you with today?
Well, 30 years ago, I saw the first little fluffy white line in the sky. At the time, I didn't know what it was about, but it looked brand new to me. I'd never seen anything like that. And then over the years, obviously, I've educated myself and I understand what they are, at least to a certain degree, because I don't think we really do understand what they are fully. So when I see them, they create a massive negative impact on me. When they're not there, we've had like 3 weeks of them not being here. Every day I look to the sky and I say thank you for not being there. I even say thank you when they're there as a way of kind of not having this negativity. However, deep down, I'm really pissed off with them. And I'd like to have some help with that.
Okay. Well, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for today. So I will, as we're going through, I will take notes as well. And we're going to use a beautiful process, as you mentioned, called chair therapy, which helps to put things into perspective. We start to look at things from a different perspective. And I can tell that there's a lot of emotion around this subject. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at that emotion. We're going to look at helping to release that emotion. So it's not pent up inside. We're going to release it. We're going to help to heal through this beautiful process and help you to see things possibly in a different way. See how we can do that. Are you happy to do that today?
Absolutely, I am. Yeah.
Okay, good. And you've had hypnosis before. I know that because I know I've done it with you before as well. Mm-hmm. How do you find the process of hypnosis?
I'm fine. I've practiced hypnosis for a long time, so I'm comfortable with it and I can go in fairly quickly.
Good. Okay. Well, before we start with the hypnosis, I'm going to ask you to say some statements for me.
Okay.
And what I'd like you to do is to say the statement after I've said it, and I want you to feel that statement as you say it, and it's going to give you a feeling, a scale, a rating out of 10, and it's going to be that immediate number that comes into your head as you say it, as you feel it, and I want you to tell me what that scale is out of 10 as you say it.
Okay.
Okay, happy to do that?
Yeah.
Good. So the first one, you're going to say, I'm going to say it, then you're going to say it and give me the first number that comes into your head. Don't second think it. Okay, so I love myself.
I love myself. 8.
Okay, next one. I am a good person.
I am a good person. 8, 9.
Okay. I was wondering if you were going to put that down with all these negative feelings that you've got today. Oh, yeah, I'm really bad today. I deserve peace in my life.
I deserve peace in my life. 9.
I keep myself safe and healthy.
I keep myself safe and healthy. Mm-hmm. 8, 9.
Mm-hmm. And the last one, I am always able to protect my family from harm.
I'm always able to protect my family from harm. 1.
Okay. Right. So all of those you scored very highly on, apart from the last one. Yeah. So the others, 8, 8 to 9 at 9 on one of them, that you deserve peace. So you're understanding that you're deserving that peace in your life, and yet you're able to keep yourself safe and healthy. But when it comes to your family, you're feeling that there's a difference there. Talk to me about that.
Two things that come to mind. One is that it's not my responsibility to keep other people safe, because when I have done that in the past, I have been rejected because it's not my life. And so what's safe for me maybe isn't safe for them. And so what I would choose for my family would be very different to what they choose for themselves. Yeah. So that's kind of, it's almost like a no, that's not your job. That's what I got. But also we're living in volatile times, and safety came up as a different thing when you said about my family. With me, it was like, yeah, I take care of myself. I look after myself. I, you know, exercise. I eat well, blah, blah, blah. Think well. But when we're talking about the family, it was like, oof. That's too big a responsibility. That's too volatile. Too many things happen. Mm-hmm. Can I keep my children? Can I keep my children safe if they're with me? But they're not going to be with me all the time. And I don't want them to be with me all the time to keep them safe. I don't think that's going to help. Yeah. So it was kind of, that was what I was feeling.
Okay. In relation to these lines in the sky, how do you feel about keeping your family safe around that?
Well, what I believe is this. I believe that the body can manage most things if it is in a good state. And so my job with my children, if it was my children, obviously my wife, but she's an adult, is to make sure that they eat well, they think well, they don't live under stress, they don't live under pressure, which is what we've tried to develop. So I know that they're healthy. And therefore, the body can manage to clean out most things. It's when people are toxic and they're living toxic lives that they can't manage. These are the things. So I think in that respect, the children are protected to a certain degree. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know how protected we are. You know, if they continue for another 30 years, what the impact would be of that, I don't know.
Okay. How angry are you with what's happening in life? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being very not angry and 10 being very, very angry. Oof.
The first one that came to mind was 9, and then it was shifting from 7, depending on the day, obviously, but I can be a 9.
Okay.
It's just one sliver of me saying, come on, Gordon, be zen, you know, rise above this. But the 9 of me's going there, fucking bastards.
Yeah, I understand. With the 9, the instant, and with the 7, the ego.
The 7 is like, come on, sort yourself out. You can't be that angry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much does seeing these fluffy white lines upset you?
10.
10. Okay. And what is the main negative emotion that you're feeling about?
Disappointment. Disappointment.
Okay. Disappointment in who?
In mankind.
Mm-hmm.
For two reasons. Disappointed in the people who are doing it. Disappointed in the people who can't see that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we need to let these emotions be expressed, don't we?
We do. I can feel them. I can feel them bubbling up.
They're simmering, aren't they? I know. Yes. So like a river waiting to burst its banks. So we're going to help you to do that today. I'm going to help to guide you through it. Are you happy to do that?
Sure, absolutely.
Happy to go there today. And we're going to use the process of chair therapy. So we are going to put someone in the chair, as you know, and I want you to decide who it is exactly that we're going to put in the chair? Is it a pilot? Is it the people organising the pilot? Who is it going to be?
What I would like, if you feel it's okay, because there are two groups that I need to talk to. One is, like, it would be the people who fly the planes, a representative of them.
So would it be one of the pilots, or would it be, say, like, they're, because I'm assuming it's like a military thing. I may be assuming that wrongly, but would it be like their flight commander as such?
No, it would be the people who were sitting in the planes, dropping the fucking lines. Yeah.
Okay.
If they're the ones who are doing it. Whether, okay. You know, are they following orders? Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Accountability. Yeah. So, are we going to give this pilot a name?
No, he didn't need a name. Because I look at his changing faces all of the time, just you.
Okay.
You.
Mr. I'd be Pilot. Happy with
him. Mr. Yeah. Pilot. Bob the Pilot. It really didn't matter.
Bob the Pilot.
Bob the Pilot.
And I had Bob in my head.
Really? There you are.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't it? Okay. Who's the other group that you want to put in the chair?
The representative of sleeping mankind.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who is that representative?
That's Mr. Dreamer.
Okay. Mr. Sleepy. Okay. Mr. Dreamer and Bob the Pilot. Do you have a preference for which one you'd like to put in the chair first?
Bob the Pilot.
Let's do Bob the Pilot then. Okay. So I'm going to talk you through this process of hypnosis. I'm going to talk you into it today, guide you there. I want you to make sure that you're nice and relaxed, nice mm-hmm. and comfortable. Try not yeah. to cross your legs and make sure that your arms are comfortably down by your side. I do want to be able to hear you. So if I can't hear you, I may ask you to talk a little louder.
Okay.
Just be aware that there may be sounds around you, and that's absolutely normal. We're just going to accept that that happens. It's everyday life. We're living in the normal world, so we may hear sounds around us. We're just going to take note of it and then let it go.
Okay.
Okay, so if you're ready, Gordon, are you happy to do this now?
Yeah.
You happy for me to take you there?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Do you trust me to take you there today?
I do indeed.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to gently sit back and close your eyes. And you're going to take some breaths with me. I'm going to guide you through three nice deep breaths. So when you're ready, taking your really deep breath in, I want you to fill your lungs up with air all the way to the top. Hold it there just a moment and then release and let go. And now finding yourself here, feeling relaxed, feeling ready now to do some good work. And I'm going to ask you, Gordon, to imagine in front of you a chair. And you can be seated as well. And in this chair in front of you, I want you to place Bob the Pilot. He's in front of you at a safe distance away. And as you look at him there, sitting in the chair, he's looking at you, but he is not going to talk for now, because he is here to listen to what you have to say to him. And I want you to use this time. I want you to tell Bob the Pilot exactly how you have been feeling, and I want you to express those emotions. I want you to feel them. You're going to tell them to him You're going to tell him exactly how you feel. I want you to let it all out. Tell him how disappointed, how you have that disappointment for him, he who is doing it. I want you to start to talk to Bob the pilot now.
I'm disappointed at what you do. I'm disappointed that you're doing it. I'm disappointed to see the lines in the sky. But I'm not disappointed with you. I'm fucking annoyed with you. You fat, horrible, stinky bastard that you are, with your smug fucking face and your smug fucking excuses about why you're doing this. You know perfectly well what you're doing. You know there's something wrong. And yet, all you're interested in is doing what you're told, making sure you've got an income, making sure that you'd be able to put food on the table for your family. Doesn't matter whether you're killing fucking millions of people. You disgust me. That's what you do. You disgust me. It's people like you that cause all of the fucking problems in this world because you're too interested in being scared of speaking out, being scared of saying something. Just do as you're told. Just do as you're told. I'm so fucking fed up with hearing people saying that. Just do it. It's just a mask. It's just a little job. You're a disgrace to the human condition. You're a fucking embarrassment. You and all of the fucking rest of you. You disgust me. Disgust me. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed about you. I'm embarrassed that people could even be like you, not able to even get in touch with their own humanity, get in touch with what they're doing to other people. How can you live like that? How can you be like that? What have you got to be like inside? Rotten. Rotten inside. Where's your soul? Where's your humanity? Where's your love? Just don't understand it. I don't understand it, and that's what disappoints me. I couldn't do it. Millions of people wouldn't do it. This world's filled with beautiful people who just want the very best for everybody. And there you are, sitting in your fucking plane every day, going around spraying shit all over people. And you don't give a fucking shit about it. You don't care. Do you know what? I hope that you fucking rot inside. I hope you're rotten inside. I hope you're ill inside. I hope you're mentally ill and physically ill. I hope you fucking die early. That's what I hope. I'm so fucking pissed off with you. You deserve to die. You don't even deserve to be here on this earth. You don't have a place. And one day, recompense is going to be asked for. And you deserve everything that you fucking get. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's what you should be. Ashamed.
Thank you, Gordon. Is that all that you wanted to say, or is there more?
I'm embarrassing my own self. I'm just having a breather.
That's fine. Just take the time that you need. If you want to say more, you say it. That's what this is all about. Letting those emotions go. Letting them go. Expressing them. That's how we heal.
I don't even care about me. It's all of the other people.
that you're hurting, the damage that you're doing to other people. It's not fair. It's not right. I take care of myself, but other people don't know how to do that. Millions of people dying of Alzheimer's, all of the heavy metal diseases that they're getting everywhere, all because of what you're doing. The impact of what you're doing is going to last for a long time. And just following orders is no excuse. It really isn't. It's no excuse. It's no excuse. And you know it. And that's why you're rotten inside. And that's why you can't sleep at night. I know that. That's why there's not an ounce of happiness inside of you. I know that. Yeah, that's better.
Good. Is there anything else that you want to say?
For the moment, no.
Okay. And so now, Gordon, I'm going to ask you to change places. I'm going to ask you to be Bob the pilot. And you are going to be him. And you are going to talk as Bob the pilot. Are you ready to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So Bob the pilot, you've heard what Gordon had to say. And you've heard his pain. You've heard how disappointed he is. How what you are doing is rotten. Disgust me is how Gordon described it. You're a disgrace to the human condition, an embarrassment, that you are causing all the problems in this world, that you are not able to be in touch with humanity. Where is your soul? This impact is going to last for a long time, causing damage to other people, hurting other people. What do you have to say for yourself, Bob?
He's got it all wrong. I don't even know what he's talking about. What we're doing is we're doing it to help mankind. That's the whole point. We're helping mankind. We're blocking the sun so that the climate change isn't going to kill us in 10 years. That's what we're doing. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. We've been briefed on it. We know what we're doing. He's wrong.
And what have you been briefed on? What have they told you about this?
Exactly that. And we've got to spray the upper atmosphere to stop the sun's rays from coming in because the planet's getting too hot and it's going to bring us to an end. And that's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to do. And better people than us, better people than him, know exactly what's happening. The scientists understand everything. And that's what we're doing. We just don't talk about it because people are not, I suppose, not able to understand it properly. But something's got to be done. And that's what we do. So we're doing a good job. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's a nut, like all the other nutters. I'm very proud of what I do. I'm helping mankind.
And do you know these scientists? These scientists that are talking about this? Have you spoken to them?
Obviously not. I mean, the scientists, they're in a different place. They do the work and we do their work because they're the ones who know. I mean, he's not a scientist, is he? You can tell.
How can you tell?
Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's talking about other things that have nothing to do with what we do. What we put out innocuous material, that's all. It just blocks the sun. It's not poisonous or anything like that. I've seen the information on it, and it's not poisonous or anything. We've been assured by experts.
And do you trust those experts?
Of course. Of course. So that's the whole point of it, isn't it? The experts are the ones who know what has to be done. Yeah, if we knew, we would have fixed it, wouldn't we? But we haven't fixed it. So the experts have got to fix it.
Who are you doing this for?
I'm doing it for mankind. I'm doing it because it's my job. It's my job. This is what I signed up for. It's my job.
What does your job mean to you?
Security, food on the table, taking care of my family, doing something productive, doing something that's worthwhile.
Do you have children?
Yeah, I do.
What do you want for those children?
I want a better future. I want a good future for them. That makes my work even more important.
And do you feel that the work you do is helping your children to have a good future?
Yes, I do. Because if I don't do this, if we don't do this, maybe there won't be any future. Look, the ice caps are melting already. The animals are dying. We've got strange weather all over the world. This is because of climate change. We've got to do something. Time's running out.
So Gordon's view on this, you can't understand his point of view at all.
He's a conspiracy theorist. He's a conspiracy nut. It's just the same old crap. I've heard it for years. Same old crap. They say all of this stuff. They've got no proof at all. They don't. It's just all hearsay. We know the truth.
So when you go up there to do this work, how do you dress for it?
In my uniform, as usual, in my flight uniform. This is a big operation. This is a big operation. Every military in the world is involved in this operation. Yeah, we outsource it as well. There are other private companies, but it's military run.
How secretive is that? How many people know about it?
There's so much information. The problem is there's so much bad information about it that people think they know. But it's been going on for a long time. It's something that we've been doing for the last 30 years. So, yeah, we deny it. I know they deny it because this is a military operation. We don't talk about what we do.
Do you think that's acceptable?
Mankind's not, they're not up to speed. They're not able to choose for themselves. They don't make the right decisions. So sometimes the authority has to make the right decision for them.
And as part of that process, do you feel that you have the right to make that decision for them?
I don't make that decision. I just do as I'm told. Because I know that the people who tell me are the ones who know. It's my job.
Do you ever question what you're doing?
No. No. You don't. Why would it allow doubts in like that? No. If I'm going to do this, I do it properly. I'm not going to question anything. That's not what I've been trained to do. I've been trained to accept orders. That's what I do. And I know in my heart that those orders are given for the right reasons, even if they're the wrong thing. Even if they're the wrong thing. The right thing is to follow your orders. Because if you start bugging the orders, then everything goes to chaos, and that's what we don't want.
So would you ever be prepared to question an order that you'd been given?
No. No, I wouldn't. At the moment, no. No, because I don't know enough to question orders. And if I question orders, then that's it. Everything's lost, isn't it? Everything's lost. And no. Never question orders. Follow orders.
How do you sleep at night?
Like a baby. I feel good about what I do. I don't know what this crap is that you're going on about. I'm doing a great job. It's him. He doesn't understand what he's talking about. He's all mixed up. He's been listening on the stupid back channels. He's probably a member of Telegram. You know that he's completely confused. I'm okay. What we do is okay. We're doing the right thing. He's the one that causes all of these problems. If it wasn't for those conspiracy nuts, the world would be a darn sight better place.
So how much job satisfaction do you get?
Tons. I get a great salary. I have interesting shifts where I could spend time with my family. Everything's great. It's just where I've got a nice house, car, nice life. Everything's fine. I don't know why you're implying that I should be any other. I do a good job. I enjoy my job. And we're helping mankind. You know, come on. It's a dream job.
Do you think that it's right, Bob, to never question anything? Do you think there could be a possible situation where somebody may ask you to do something, may order you to do something that goes against what you believe in?
Look, when you're trained in this, if you're told to kill somebody, you kill them. You don't question. It isn't your job to question. You do. And so I follow orders. That's it. But I feel good about what I do because I know that we're helping mankind.
And what if those orders were to do damage to your own family?
That's just a conspiracy theory. There's nothing harmful about what we're doing. All we're doing is leaving a very, very innocuous kind of chalk dust in the sky. That's all. It doesn't do anything. All this crap about it changing the pH of the soil. And I've read the stuff that they say. Just crap. It's just invented. It's invented because the anti-establishment, the rebels, they want to bring down the society that we've worked so hard to build.
Do you believe that men have the right, mankind has the right to alter nature?
Well, no, I don't. That's the problem. It's mankind that's created the climate change. It's mankind's behavior that's created it. And so we've got to put it right. We've spoiled it in the first place. We've got to do something to put it right. It's not going to happen naturally. Yeah. So no, we don't have a right to change it, but we did it and we've got to put it right. We've got a duty to put it right.
And how certain are you that you are putting this right, that you are protecting your children, that you are helping mankind? How certain are you that what you're doing is doing that?
Well, I'm certain, as certain as the orders keep coming through, because if it wasn't working, they would tell us to stop, wouldn't they? If it wasn't working, if it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, then we wouldn't do it, would we? So yes, I'm certain it's working because we keep doing it.
Okay. Right. Thank you for that, Bob. Thank you. And I'm going to ask Gordon now to come back into the chair. So, Gordon, you've heard what Bob the pilot had to say. You've heard he's just following orders. He sleeps like a baby.
Sure.
He feels good about what he does. He's doing a great job. He's got a nice life, nice car, nice house, time to spend with his family, a good salary. He's just following orders. It's not his job to question. His conscience is clear. How do you feel about that?
I didn't expect any of the, what was it? I wasn't expecting him to be going, oh, I'm sorry. Nah, he's fucking as thick as pig shit. And they choose people like that because they're fucking thick as pig shit. They don't know how to even begin to have any cognition in the mind. So, you know, the last thing they're going to do is put up intelligent pilots up there who are going to do that. You know, does he have any, is there any basis to what he's saying? No, he's just talking about what he believes, right? So where the truth lies, who knows? Bob's got his truth. I've got my truth. But I'm not going to change him. I don't want to change Bob. Bob's sitting there with his smug fucking face and his fat fucking belly and his wonderful fucking life. Fuck you, Bob. Fuck you. You do what you want to do. All I'm here for is just so that you don't bother me. I don't want you to bother me. Fuck off. I don't want to even know about you. I'm not interested what goes on in your mind. You don't interest me in the slightest. I hope you fucking rot in hell, but you don't interest me. I'm here to be free from you because I'm fucking sick to the back teeth of you and your stupidity and the people like you who are so fucking stupid. So fucking stupid. If you were allowed to, you would bring mankind to an end. If you were allowed to, thinking that you were helping mankind. That's how fucking stupid you are. The lot of you, all of you. You're as dumb as a fucking donkey, and that's not being fair on donkeys. You are an idiot, a walking idiot, brainless. If we opened your head, there would be fuck all in there, except follow orders. Got a nice house. Got a nice car. Yeah, you enjoy that. You enjoy that. Just leave me the fuck alone and leave my family the fuck alone. You're a dumb, dumb, dumb person. So dumb. So stupid. And there are so many like you as well. Fortunately, Bob, fortunately, there are tons and tons and tons of people who know exactly who you are and know exactly what you do. And you know, every day we are more and more. Every week we're increasing by millions. And there's going to come a point where you are going to be in the minority, Bob, with your little tiny pea brain size brain. You're going to be the minority and the majority of people are going to hate you. And then you're going to have to pay. But that's for another time. That's not my business. I'm not in for vengeance. I'm not interested in vengeance. I just want you and your kind to leave me and my family the fuck alone. So just fuck off with your little plane and your little life and go and fucking spray somewhere else. No, don't spray. Don't do anything. Fuck off somewhere else. Just leave me alone. Okay?
So, Gordon, you heard what Bob had to say. And you heard how he's happy with his life. Mm. And he feels that he's doing the right thing. So although it may be that he's not doing the right thing, as far as he's concerned, he is. And one of his motivations is his family and his family's future. So in actual fact, you both have that same concern. But just looking at it from different angles. And regardless of his level of intelligence, which he probably can't help. And he's spent a long time being programmed. If he's worked in that job for 30 years, that's an awful lot of programming that he has received. And he has been programmed not to question. And he is running that program because it's easier for him to do that. Because it's easier for him to feel that he's doing a good job and then to reap the rewards of that job and to be able to look his children in the eye believing that he is doing things for their future. Regardless of whether that is the truth or not, that is Bob's truth. And from his point of view, he's comfortable with what he's doing. He's comfortable with it. He's prepared to carry on doing it. Right or wrong, he will never question what he's doing. And you know that, don't you?
Yeah.
And so you have expressed these emotions. You've heard what Bob had to say. You've heard that there's no remorse, that he feels he's doing the right thing. You've heard that he is, in his own way, believing that he is helping humanity, however misguided that is. And at the end of the day, none of us truly know what those fluffy white trails actually are. And if we were to think about it logically, those fluffy white trails in the sky are very obvious, like a calling card, like a graffiti, like a small child writing their name on a wall. They're not invisible. They are there for those who choose to look at them. And what is that message? What is the message it's giving to those that are choosing to look? And so I want you now to set yourself free from all of this. I want you to offer your forgiveness to Bob. This is not saying that what he is doing is right. This is merely your way of setting yourself free from these negative emotions. It is your way of allowing yourself to have that peace that you told me that you deserve. You told me you deserve peace in your life, 9 out of 10. And by giving Bob your forgiveness, you can move closer to that peace that you so deserve. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And know that nothing about giving your forgiveness is going to change the way that Bob is. But it will allow you to move on. Set yourself free. Are you happy to do that?
Yes, I am.
And so I'm going to ask you now to look at Bob. I want you to tell him that you forgive him. Can you do that now?
Sure. I didn't expect to reach an agreement, Bob. I didn't expect to. I just needed to be free of this. I needed to be free of this. I don't expect anything from you at all. I don't, you have your moment, and I'm sure at some point you're going to wake up, and then you've got to live with yourself, and that's your business. But I need to be free of this now. I need to be free of it. I need to be free of this feeling. And so I'm very happy, Bob, just to forgive you. I forgive you, Bob. I forgive you because you don't know what you're doing. How could I hold that against you? I forgive you. And I let it go. I let you go. You get on with your life, and I wish you every success in your awakening process. And then maybe one day we can sit and have a coffee and you can tell me, you ask me for some help with therapy because of all of the terrible thoughts that you've got in your head, but that's for you. Yeah. Okay. There you are, Bob. No problem. You do your stuff. I'll do my stuff.
That's beautiful, Gordon. And let's hope that he does come for some therapy. I have a feeling that he might be in the chair a while.
I have a feeling so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so now what I'd like to do is to use the chair again. And this time, Gordon, I want you to place in front of you, at a safe distance from you, the representative of sleeping mankind, Mr. Dreamer. Mm. And as you look at Mr. Dreamer there in the chair, sitting quite comfortably, possibly with not much of a care in the world, I want you to express your feelings towards Mr. Dreamer. I want you to let it all out. Now is the time for healing. Now is the time to open those floodgates. Everything that you've been wanting to say here, now is the time to do that. I want you to express it with all the emotion, all of the disappointment, all of the anger that you are feeling. I want you to let Mr. Dreamer feel this now. Go for it.
I don't know whether you're more embarrassing. Probably yes. You're more embarrassing than the people who actually do this work. And you're more embarrassing because you believe yourself to be a wonderful person. You believe yourself to be a wonderful person, a do-gooder. I do exactly what I'm told to do. You're just like them. You do exactly what you're told to do. I've been told not to look up. I've been told that they are not lines in the sky created by chemicals, but rather they are condensation. I mean, are you off your fucking rocker? Are you off? Do you really think that condensation can go from one side of the sky to the other and hang there all day and then drop down under the earth? You can see it dropping, dripping. Is that what condensation is? I don't think so. And yet there you are in your own little world of dupey, believing that everything is fine, believing that it's absolutely normal. I mean, and you were born before 1980. Let's say that maybe 1990. You were born before that. Can you remember the summer of 76? You remember how clear the skies were for months and months and months and months and months and months? I remember lying in my garden, looking up at the sky, watching the planes go by, and they were leaving a little tiny contrail like that. And now they go from one side of the sky. Now they paint pictures in the sky. Some of them do faces. Now they do little patterns. They do a lot of the devil's pentagram. Lots of them going on as well. And there you are. Do you know where you're fucking looking? Your fucking mobile. You're walking along the road looking at your fucking mobile. You should be looking up. Do you understand what they're doing? Do you understand what they're doing to our world? And it's not just that. You don't look anywhere. You don't look anywhere. And you, specifically the person that I'm looking at now, allowing your children to have that. And you, supposedly intelligent, supposedly qualified, PhDs. And you're fucking stupid. You are. And I'm not talking about intelligence, like academic intelligence. You're just fucking stupid. And you're willing to allow people who have no business to do things to you and your family, to hurt you and your family. And you don't even recognize it. You don't recognize it. It's time, for fuck's sake, wake the fuck up. Look the fuck up. Ask yourself some questions. Just ask some simple questions. Stop accepting everything. Stop putting jabs in your arm every fucking 5 minutes. What the fuck is going on with you? Disaster. You are a walking disaster. Dear me. Is there any hope? Is there life on this planet? This is the question I'm asking. Is there life on this planet? Dear me. Okay, I'm done.
Well done. Okay. You know where you're going now. I'm going to ask you to change places, Gordon, with Mr. Dreamer. You're going to have to place yourself on that chair, and you are now going to be Mr. Dreamer. And Mr. Dreamer, I want to talk to you now.
Okay.
Now you've heard what Gordon said. You've heard. Yeah,
very rude man, I might add. Very rude man.
So you've heard the emotion that Gordon spoke to you with. Gordon believes that you are more embarrassing than Bob the Pilot. But that you believe that you're a wonderful person, a do-gooder, living in your own little world of duty. With everything being fine and absolutely normal. That you don't look anywhere. That you're allowing your children to be in a situation that might not be best for them. And that you, with your qualifications, your intelligence, your PhD, that you just need to wake up. How do you respond to that?
How does anybody respond to that? I mean, the man's rude. He just uses swear words unnecessarily. Quite where he's getting his information from, I don't know, but it's certainly not from the places that I look. It's people like him that cause problems in society. I mean, I'm quite offended as it happens. I can rise above that, understanding that there's obviously clearly a mental issue with him. He's not right. I mean, I people often call me the pillar of our society and in our village that we live. All I do is good stuff. I don't even know what he's talking about. I take care of my family. I protected my family. We've been through three very difficult years, and I've always made sure that my family's safe and we're all still here. We're all still alive. And I don't really know. And I don't know what he's talking about up in the sky. Of course, the contrails. Of course they are. The very idea that what are they if they're not? What are they? There's just a lot. You see, in 1976, there wasn't that much air traffic. Now there's a lot of air traffic. Everybody's traveling. This is why the virus happened in the first place, because we travel so much. And so there's just more traffic in the air. So what do you expect? What do you expect? I mean, this is why we should be thinking about where we travel. We need to be conscious of our carbon footprint. Because look at the skies. Yes, I agree. You know, that's not very nice to see, is it? That they're filled with, you know, aeroplanes. That means that all of those emissions are going into the air. So yeah, but that might be anything other than condensation. Well, that's just ridiculous. That's ridiculous. He's obviously lost the plot. And he's a little bit out of it, but I think there's an ever-growing group, a very concerning amount of people that are believing this tripe, this trollop that's being bandied around. He's probably on Telegram. I wouldn't be surprised. I've read about it in the Mail. So, I'm not going to open a dialogue with him, because what could we talk about? We're on two different planets. And he's clearly off his trolley. However, you know, each to their own, you know, each to their own.
Okay, Mr. Dreamer, what dangers do you believe that Gordon is opening up to the world with this viewpoint that he has?
Chaos. It's chaotic. Can you not hear him? His mind's chaotic. He can barely hold an argument, a thread of an argument. He's all over the place. This is chaotic. We can't have chaotic societies. This is why we're in so many problems. Because of this chaos, we need order. We need discipline. We need rules to follow. That's how we create a good society, a strong society. Not having everybody with weird ideas. Where would we be? It would be chaos. Absolutely not.
And who needs to manage this discipline, this order?
The people. Listen, I believe in freedom. I believe in democracy. I vote every time I vote because I want to, because I know that I can choose. I can choose who leads us. And that's the beauty of the society that we're in. We're in a democracy, and we need to bring democracy to more countries. We need to force democracy upon them. And the people who are in power, we have elected. and they work for us. And that's what democracy is all about. They're the ones, we pay them to fix our problems.
And do they fix our problems?
They do the best, I think. You know, they're only human. I think we expect so much from them. And they do the best. Yes, they make mistakes, of course. But, you know, so do we all. But, you know, let's give them a chance. Let's support them. And then they can do a good job.
Do we hold them accountable when they make mistakes?
I don't know where you want to lead me with this. Look, everybody makes mistakes. And yes, we all should be accountable for our mistakes. Of course we should. But also, you know, to make an omelette, you've got to break some eggs. And so, you know, we can't just be jumping on every single thing that somebody does. Just, you know, they're trying their best. This is the problem. It's like we're in this world where everybody's attacking everybody else because they said something or whatever. Come on, let's just let our rulers, let our leaders lead.
Do you trust the leaders?
Implicitly. Because we're in a democracy. Because I voted for that person. All right, maybe the people I voted for didn't get in. But that means the majority of people voted for that person, and therefore we should trust them. They wouldn't be in if we didn't want them to be there.
Do you believe that there's such a thing as corruption within the leadership?
Of course, but compared to other countries, the corruption, for example, in the UK, is so small. I mean, it happens. There are pockets of it. There always will be. There are always bad people. But generally, I mean, we just don't tolerate it in the British government. We never have.
Do you believe that the British government works for the people?
Absolutely. That's what democracy is all about. Democracy has never been more important than what it is these days. This is what we need. And we need to focus on democracy instead of all of this chaos and anti-disestablishment. No, it's no good. It should be stamped on.
Do you believe that democracy works all the time?
Of course. Look, yeah, I don't want to be black and white. Democracy, it's better than, let's say that. It's better than communism. Look, that didn't work, did it? It's better than a dictatorship. Look, that didn't work, did it? I think it's a fair and equitable system. It has its flaws. Of course it does. But it works. It's worked for a long time.
And do you believe that through that democracy, that we are being shown the right way to do things, that we're being shown the right way to go about, for example, health?
I don't think anybody can deny the fantastic job that the National Health Service did during this pandemic. I don't think anybody can deny. I mean, you know, I was there every night applauding them. And thank God for the National Health Service. And so, yes, I believe that they have our best interests at heart and they did the best that they could in a very difficult situation. Goodness.
And the key workers?
Everybody. Everybody did a fantastic job. I think I take my hat off to them. I'm eternally grateful. And I donate each month, you know, to help this situation, just because we've got to help. We've got to help. This is it. We've got to help.
Okay, Mr. Dreamer, you mentioned earlier that you are considered a pillar of society.
Absolutely.
All you do is good stuff. Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that?
I help in the community. I give to various charities every month. My door's always open to anybody who needs help. You know, I work in the local church and we have a beautiful community there. I help where I can. You know, that's what life's all about, isn't it?
When was the last time that someone made use of your door always being open?
I suppose the other day, somebody, you know, one of the neighbors needed some help and I was there and I went and helped, you know, but that's what we're here for, to help one another. If everybody did that, this world would be a better place, would it not?
And how was that, everybody helping one another? How was that, brought about during the COVID times that we've just been through?
Well, exactly. I mean, it was the classic example of everybody cooperating together, everyone maintaining the distance, everybody wearing a mask, except those like him, the crazies that didn't want to and probably just extended the pandemic more because of their silly behavior. Everybody stepping forward and getting the jab. You know, it was so beautiful to watch everybody rallying together. It brought us all together, I think.
Good. Did you make sure that you got yourself tested often?
Once a week. We did it, all of the family, we did it, all of the family every week, because we did not want to put anybody in jeopardy. We never did, you know, I'm very proud of how we did it. I mean, you know, we followed every guideline. We had the app, we did everything. Yeah.
And you're very proud of yourself for doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If everybody did that, perhaps it wouldn't have dragged on for the time it did.
And how frightened were you during this time, this last 3 years?
We were very concerned. I was concerned for the world. I was concerned for my family. It was a scary time. Nobody knew, not even the government knew what was going to happen. We've never had this before. It was very scary, I have to admit. Yeah. But I firmly believed that what we needed to do was follow the guidance, follow the signs. And look, we got through it.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a solicitor.
How long did you study at university for?
Oof. Long. I had to do my degree and then I had to do a master's. So yeah, I was studying for probably 10 years to get to where I was.
And how do you feel about your qualifications and how hard you worked?
I'm proud of them. I mean, who wouldn't be? I'm proud of them. It was hard work, but it was worth it. And now I'm able to provide for my family in a beautiful way. And that's good. And that's what being successful is all about, is it not?
And you believe you are successful?
Well, you know, without sounding big-headed, then I believe I've got a successful life. I've got a beautiful family and, you know, we're very happy together and we don't want for anything. I think that's pretty much successful, don't you?
Okay. All right. Thank you for your views on that. Thank you.
Welcome.
And now I'm going to ask you to allow Gordon to come back into the chair and I'd like to talk to Gordon about what you've been saying. So Gordon, if you'd like to come back into the chair, and you've heard pillar of society, and to say about the world, about you, about his views about the last 3 years, what do you think of that?
I suppose, you know, that man is the antipathy of who I believe myself to be, the antipathy. So everything that he says, it's kind of like I would have to do the opposite. However, what can I expect? I truly believe he's a good person. I truly believe it. You're a good person. I know you're a good person. But good people can still be misdirected. Good people can still do bad things. And I don't hold the views that you hold. Nor will I ever. And I don't think I've ever held your views in the whole of my life. Maybe I've been a rebel all of my life. I don't know. but I've never ever been able to get into the place that you're in. It's, for me, it's the deepest, deepest, deepest psychosis and hypnosis that possibly could exist. But do you know, I don't hold it against you. I don't, having listened to you, and it was just horrific. It was horrific to listen to your arguments and the way that you kind of see life. It's like living in a dystopian nightmare for me to listen to that. But I can't expect any other from you. I can't expect you to be any other, because that's who you are. And far be it from me to tell you that you need to change. Not my job. Not my job. And so I'm sorry that I was angry with you. I'm sorry that I was telling you what you had to do. I withdraw that. You do exactly what you want to do. You do and be exactly what you want to do and be. But by the way, I'm going to be getting on with my life as well, if that's okay. I'm going to do and be exactly what I want to do and be. And yes, I am on Telegram. I don't know why everyone's fucking mentioned Telegram. You be who you are. And please, God, I pray that the awakening comes for you sooner than later. I truly pray for you all. I really do. But we're squits. We're even. Okay?
Do you feel ready to forgive Mr. Dreamer?
For sure, yeah. Absolutely. I've already done it, but I'll do it again. Yeah.
Tell him, put it into words. Tell him.
I forgive you. I forgive everything that you do. I forgive everything that you think. I forgive you. Because everything that you do and think, at some point in my life, I've done and thought. And so who am I to point the finger at you? You do your stuff. Do your stuff and just be. And I know you're a good person. I know you help people. And I know you do good things. And the intention is always good. So I've completely forgive you. Okay. Just leave me the fuck alone. All right.
Good. Well done. That was beautiful. And even put the swear word in that you disagreed with. Okay. So, Gordon, we're going to move that chair away now. It's just you here in the room now. And I want to take this time. To talk to you. I want to say some words to you now. And I am very proud of you for your forgiveness. The emotion that you expressed was very strong. And you have found it in your heart to forgive. And you have found it in your heart to forgive because you know that that is how you set yourself free. And there are many different types of people in this world. There are many different viewpoints. There are many souls here on their different soul journeys. And each journey is not our own. It is theirs. And they are at different places. Everyone is at a different place. And all we can do is look at our own soul journey. Look at where we are along our timeline. Where we've been, what we've learned, where we're going. But most importantly, where we are. Right now, remembering that the present moment holds all of the power. What has been has been. What is yet to come has nothing to do with us for now. It's for another moment. The moment we have is now. What we give our energy to is what grows. What we give our energy to with our focus And with our attention is what grows. So if we are giving energy to something that is not serving us, all that is happening is it's growing within us. Because we have that power. We are that powerful to create. And the truth of it is that none of us truly know everything about those fluffy white lines. We've heard, we've listened to science, we've heard reports about what it could be doing, but we actually truthfully do not know. And one thing to note is that if it creates discomfort, if it creates negativity within us, if it creates those negative emotions, is that really where we want to be? Or is that part of the plan? There are those that do not see them. Are they negatively affected by them or not? We don't know. But are they giving more power to it with their attention? No. But those of us who can see, who look up, who value nature, who are doing our very best to protect our families, to protect humanity, we look, we are looking, and yet we are giving our attention to it. And it's creating negativity. And as high as our vibrations can be, for everything else, if we are creating that negativity, it's drawing us back down. It's lowering our vibrations. Our life is about the peaks and the troughs. What we do not want is that midpoint straight line. And remember that as we go into those peaks, and then we sense that negativity, but we're always looking up, looking. That negativity brings us back down closer to that straight line, that midpoint of unfeeling, that midpoint of the nothingness. For the midpoint is the nothing. The peaks and the troughs are what we live for here in the 3D. And so by looking, by giving our attention, we are creating this negativity within us. And we need to remember that we are creative. We are that powerful that we create what we give our energy to. And so by forgiving today, by setting yourself free, by hearing those other viewpoints, putting yourself into a different perspective, forgiving, allowing that to go, you have no control over what anyone else does. You have no control over what anyone else thinks. You said yourself you cannot even control and 100% protect those you love. All you can do is your very best and show them the best way and be a shining example to them. Be that example of how to take care, how to keep yourself both physically and mentally and emotionally well. Be that example to those that you love. But that comes down to your positive thinking, in the now. And I know that you can do that. And I know that you can look and you can see what's going on around and you can understand what's going on around. And yet you can stop any negativity from coming into your emotion, that you can see it and then you can let it go. Set it free, for we do truly not know the full extent of what this is all about. Remember, we need the darkness to illuminate the light. We need the troughs so that when we have the peaks, we fully appreciate them. We grow in the peaks and we learn in the troughs. But the very thing we don't want is just that mid nothingness. And I know that you are here to do beautiful things. You are a shining light in this world. You are a beautiful example to people of how to question, of how to love, of how to learn and how to grow. Do not let that shining light be dimmed. Allow it to shine so brightly. Allow yourself to be free from these emotions that have been holding you prisoner. Allow yourself to see that beautiful blue sky again. Allow yourself to be at nature, out in nature, and feel the peace once more. You deserve that peace. You do. And with that example of keeping yourself well, physically, mentally, emotionally, you will be that shining light, that example to all of those around you, including those that you love most deeply. And they will learn from you and they will learn how to protect themselves. And that is the most powerful thing you can do for them, to show them that, so that they learn. Our job as a parent is to teach our children how to fly, and how to fly freely, and how to live their lives the best way that they can. We set them up, we create the environment for them, and then we have to let them go. And we have to trust them that we've given them as much information and as much help as we can, and then see them soar. And that's what they're going to do, because you have set them such a beautiful example. And so now I want you to open up a space in the top of your head and allow the beautiful white healing light to come down into the top of your head and allow it to flow all through your body, allowing it to travel around to places where there might be a glitch or a knot or something that just needs kneading out or flattening out or relaxing out. Just allow it to go all around your body, this healing, beautiful white light energy. Allow it to travel all around and do its beautiful work to your heart. Allow it to hold that space there and to glow there beautifully, knowing that this will light you up from inside, and that light will spill out of you all around to those around close to you and those that you meet, whether it be online, through your teachings that you're doing, your language teaching that you're doing, and know that you are spreading this light in the world, and that it's beautiful, and that you are greatly appreciated. And then closing that space in your head and keeping that light within you, filling you up, powering you on. And in a moment, I'm going to count you back from 5 through to 1, and you are going to come back feeling positive, strengthened, invigorated. 5. Feel that energy starting to return to your body. 4. Feeling the tingling as it works its way through your fingers and your toes. 3. Feeling it working its way up your body. 2. If you need to, a big stretch out. And 1. When you're ready, opening your eyes, coming back into the here and now. And tell me how you feel.
That was nice. That was nice. I feel very relieved. That was hilarious. That was hilarious talking to those people. They're mingers, aren't they? God. Oh,
the dreamer was just the best. I love that. And some of your words, like literally, you said the same words so many times. I was going times 2, times 3, times 4, times 5. Big circles around. Oh, is it again? Times 6.
That was great. That was
great. Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. They were brilliant, actually.
And thank you very much. You did a fab, absolutely fab job. Lovely. And because I do this mostly with other people, I forget the power of putting yourself in somebody else's place. I was noticing, with Mr. Dreamer, as I was talking, I was just thinking, you poor bastard. Poor bastard. I wouldn't want to be you in a million years. I feel really sorry for you, and it kind of, it changes, shifts everything. The same with the pilot. It was like so focused. I was thinking, oh man, there's nothing to do here. There's nothing to do.
No, because when that awakening happens for them, it is going to be so traumatic.
Dear me.
If we thought we had it bad, us who have questioned and rebelled our whole lives, those who have just followed the system and been rewarded by it, that's the difference, Gordon. We've never been rewarded by it. We've always been criticized, and so we've had to power ourselves up. They've been rewarded when that reward system finishes, when those people that were everything they idolized suddenly crumble and turn to dust. How are they going to survive?
Bless them. Well, they'll crumble and turn to dust for a while, and I suppose they'll have to be resuscitated. Be the death. It's the death of the old and the birth of the new, I suppose. Poor things. But they both of them were so rigid. I was surprised. I didn't expect that. And they were just so rigid, like, do not move me from this place. That was the sense. Yeah. Do not move me from this place. It's too safe here.
It's rigid.
The comic, and I don't know, it was you, and he's probably on Telegram,
There were a couple of times I laughed, and I was like, I should have laughed a bit quieter. I couldn't help it. was good. But it was hilarious. And actually, what I found really interesting, because I thought you were going to say that the pilot was like single, no family, but actually it was really interesting that he had a family and that he did think he was doing it for his children. That, to me, I was like, oh, yeah. How do you argue with that if someone believes they're doing the right thing for their children?
That's what I was getting. Good, because obviously you get like this schizophrenic type thing going on where I'm so adamant. He's so adamant about he's doing it for the good. If we don't do this, it's, you know, there isn't going to be any future. And I was thinking, exactly. I can't argue with that. I'm not, you know, there's nothing. Right. How can you argue with that? There's nothing. And I know you were, you know, you were kind of pushing the boundaries to see how far, and they would go as far as you would push them.
Yeah.
You know, there's no breaking point of, ooh, you might have something there. No. It's like,
no.
However far you want to push me, I'll give you the congruent answer. Very congruent. Very
congruent. Oh, yeah, definitely. But it's also the lack of responsibility, isn't it, for both? Mm-hmm. The giving the responsibility to somebody else, and then you're free.
Yeah.
The trouble is when you start thinking about things, you then take that responsibility on, and that's a big thing. If you just give responsibility to someone else, and then
that's it. That was not
my fault. They told me to do it, and I just believe them because I always have.
And that was that chaos thing. Both of them suggested that if we didn't do it, it would be chaotic. And I understood exactly what they were saying. You know, it's like, no, just do what you're told, and then everything's going to be fine. You know? Both of them, for God's sake.
Blind faith. It's crazy. But actually, it was really useful to me as well, because I could see it, you know, as much. And I could see it in so many people I knew. I was like, oh, my God, that's my family. Oh, yeah.
Well, it was interesting because the Mr. Dream had turned into my uncle and then became quite personal for a bit. And then afterwards, not, but it was, you know, I think we've all related to people who say these words, these kind of like this hypnotic diatribe that they spout off. They're very comfortable with it.
Thank goodness for us not fitting into the norm, eh?
Oh,
thank goodness for us having more struggles and being the black sheep and. Yay to the
back sheet. Absolutely. But you know, maybe had we been like them, maybe we would be happy in that as well. You know, I was like, you know, I was giving them a hard time saying, you know, you're rotten inside. I bet you can't sleep at night. You know, how do you sleep? Like a baby. And I mean, but really,
I had to get that in there.
I really should. But it was like a smugness of like, I'm perfect. You know what I mean? That's, you know, that's where they are. And the only time that they awaken is when that comfort is taken off them. And that's good. You know, that's what's going to happen. But hey, well, you know, good for them. Good for them. I feel a lot better that they're, you know, they're doing what they're doing because they truly believe it. And that's, I always knew that, but it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to feel it.
Yeah. It's the feeling it, isn't it? The being there and the feeling it. And then you think, okay, that's where they're coming from.
Yeah, that was great. I loved that. That was there was a lot of emotional release, you know, and there were lots of tears as well. There was anger, but there was tears behind it as well, which was lovely. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. No, you're very welcome. I really enjoyed doing that too. Yeah,
super. Really good. And you are more than welcome if there's anything that you'd like to work on, give me a shout and we can do an exchange. Yeah.
Yeah, no worries. I might have to think about it. I don't want to do health at the moment. I'm just done with it.
Whatever, anything. It just, you know, think about it. And if something comes up and you think, hey, and it doesn't have to be on the negative side. It can be on the positive side, you know.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm up for that. Yeah.
All right.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, there you are. That 2 hours. Wow. That was a session, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
Two lots to do. That was very nice.
No, but chair therapy, I love it. I've only done it once, twice before, but I love it. It's so powerful.
And you did it really nicely, really nicely. You're a brilliant facilitator. You've got a very natural way, and it makes sense the way that you were doing it. And I like the extra bits you put in your own personality as well, which is lovely. Well done.
Oh, thank you. No, it's great. And you have to let me know how you get on next time you're out and about.
I will. I'll give you a report in a few days about how I feel about all this, because, you know, there was a lot going on there. So let's see how I feel.
Yeah, because what came to me was just that if actually they really didn't want us to know, would it be that obvious in the sky? And it did just remind me of a little kid writing a name on the wall and then saying it wasn't me.
Absolutely. I mean, for some. There's more to it than meets the eye, literally.
Definitely. And they could do it at night. and yet they do it in the blue skies. They could do it when it's cloudy, and yet they do it when it's blue skies. You know, what's sure, that all yeah. about?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to get into the minds of whoever it is that works it all out. But anyway, it wasn't in his mind. He was just putting chalk dust into the sky.
Definitely, and getting paid a nice pretty penny for doing it.
Absolutely. Okay, Vicky, I shall leave you. You enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you for letting me do that, because I really found it useful, and I'm just loving getting back into the hypnosis. It's wonderful.